Title of this message is All the More, and I have so many notes. I don't have a lot of scriptures, but I have a lot of notes. And then yesterday happened, and if you're at men's prayer, you know what yesterday happened means. It was all the more to the nth degree. Not just at men's prayer, but at the car show, people we get to pray for. And if anything we get to do in this day, if you're somewhere and you're a disciple of Jesus, he has a plan for you. Not just for whatever you're going to that event for, but for someone sitting around you who needs Jesus. I'm going to start just with a very familiar passage. I've been reading this passage in small groups I've been in for the last couple of weeks, and talking about the all the more that this passage talks about, but we're going to go a little further with it today. It's a familiar passage from Hebrews, and it simply says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the entire lesson could be summed up right in these verses. That when we gather together, whatever the occasion, it could be a service, it could be a prayer meeting, it could be a class we're taking, it could be a graduation party, it could be some social gathering at someone's house, it could be you're just going shopping with someone in your family or with a friend. But the assignment is there. Let's consider how we may spur one another on, encouraging one another. And then it says, don't give up meeting together. And there's a little additive in there, as some are in the habit of doing, which suggests that part of it's not a good thing. But encouraging one another. And then it says, do this more. And I've had some revelation over the last few weeks about just more and more gatherings seem to be springing up. And it dawned on me as I look back on, we just celebrated our first year. We recognized our first year of meeting together on Saturday mornings at Pastor Shane's. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. That's part of the all the more. We just started Burn the Ships, which is a men's worship night. Larry Ricketts had a vision for this, had revelation about this. And I've told you this before. When I first heard about it, I thought, do we need another men's gathering? And the Lord said, yes. And I went to it. And I was like, oh my goodness, men coming together. Because I honestly thought maybe three guys would worship. But about 40 of us did. And it was, I thought the roof was going to come off. And it was part of the all the more. And then yesterday happened. It's interesting because yesterday was the first gathering in our second year, which I thought, I hadn't even occurred to me that that was seemed significant. It was our first gathering of our second year of meeting. And so I'm going to share two things here with you. So yesterday at prayer meeting, just stuff happened, and I won't go into the specifics of it all, but brokenness happened among men. Brokenness happened. I mean, it started with one, and then another, and then another, and then another, and maybe another, and another. And maybe another. So that all happened, and then I go to the car show, and I'm gonna intersperse a couple things here. I go to the car show, and I'm there, and I get a message from one of ours who gives us prophetic messages, and here's how it started. God says, harvest is ready. They are crying out to me for me to reveal myself to them. Okay, I'm going to stop there from that word. So on Friday morning, I get this message. Now, keep that what I just read in mind. I got this word, this message from somebody from here. Said, "Good morning, Pastor Jeff. This may seem strange, but I feel compelled to share it with you. I was sitting in my truck in my driveway after a very rough night at work. I found myself aimlessly playing on my phone, passing some time. This led to short YouTube videos from The Chosen. This particular video was of the Sermon on the Mount. As the video spoke of birds, I was watching birds pecking through the yard for their food. I said, 'God, if you can hear me, let that bird land on the hood of my truck.' A few moments later, a baby bird landed in the middle of my hood. Staring directly at me through the windshield, I heard, 'I hear you. You are as this baby bird, but I have much greater things in store for you. I will make you an eagle. Trust in me and spread your wings.' And then he added, 'I am declaring now, I want to be an eagle.' I said, 'Wow, that's quite a testimony. A staring bird.' And I shared some other word with him a while back that he responded to, and I shared that with him again, and I said, 'See you in the morning.' And he showed up. And he became the second person who came forward and was broken. God says, 'Harvest is ready. They are crying out to me for me to reveal myself to them. I have heard their cry, and I am sending my army, my true church, filled with my spirit to bring them home.' When this word was sent to me, I said, 'Were you at men's prayer meeting?'" This was from a woman. I know she wasn't there, but she's speaking. She's speaking what I had just experienced in 2 days. I hear you. He hears you. I am sending my army, my church, filled with my spirit, to bring them home. All the more, we don't gather just to gather. He's doing a work and he's calling us. And each one of us in this room is part of the more. I don't know what your more looks like. I know what mine looks like, and I know what many of ours looks like. And it's not for us ever to say you have to come every time the doors open, everything we do. I mean, we got multiple, we have at least three things going on today. We have this going on. We're at the car show this morning. We have a golf tournament going on this morning. So we're being sent multiple places, and it all matters. It all matters. Because he's using his people as we say yes to all the more. Whatever level of meeting you're doing, he says, "I want more." This is not really a suggestion in this passage. He says, "Don't give up meeting together, but do so all the more. Because I got people that I want you to encourage. I want to encourage you," and he's going to do that in the middle of your yes. "But I've got other people on the other side." We showed up at the car show on Thursday to begin setting up, and there was already a guy sitting there. He'd asked the director if he could help. And so Dennis put him at our table. There's lots of areas he could have put him to help, but Dennis knows us, and he put him at our table. He's 38 years old, has 4 children, has a record this long. He's coming out of addiction. Go God. Go God. Because we got to love on him. We got to pray with him. He was there every day, and he's there today. He's there today again. And you'll probably get to meet him at some point. Wherever it is we get to go, we get to be vessels, but a lot of the deposits that he puts in us comes from us meeting together, from us gathering together. The assignments and the gifts he develops in us and births in us and then grows in us to be used for one purpose only, and that's for his glory. I'll keep reading this word. So some of them are going to come across as if they don't want to be found, but they do. So pay attention, because some of them may put on a hard shell, but they want to be found. They're going to fight it. Remember, your fight is not against flesh and blood, but the principalities that are holding them captive. They will not want to let go easily. They will put up a fight, but do not be afraid. Continue to use my authority over them. Their time is up. They have no choice but to release it when the authority is used. Keep yourselves free from sin and abide and remain in my word and love. The harvest is crying out, and I have heard their cry. I'm answering their prayers and sending my people to love them the way I do. That's us. That is us. They will be set free. Some of them quit praying out of discouragement, but I did not forget about them. They will be reminded that I love them. I see them, and I have never left them. My people, love like you have never loved before. Allow my fire to penetrate your heart for the harvest. Yesterday at men's prayer, at least one man, maybe more than one, said, it is hot in here. It is hot in here. It was not hot in there physically, but it was hot in there by the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God was there delivering people. Some of them don't look like they are mine, but they are. There's a little warning there. I have called them by my name. Don't look at the outside appearance, for I look at the heart. Listen to my voice and obey. Those who believe in me and my word will enter. I got to find my place here. Prostitutes and the outcasts will enter before religious leaders. Just like I sent Moses to my people to free from Egypt, I am sending my church to deliver those whose minds and hearts have been bound by the lies of the enemy. Captives will be set free. Put my armor on and raise your swords. It's time to go get the harvest. Do not back down. You will not be alone, not by might nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. My angels will be around as well. I am for you, not against you. Do not be afraid. Do what you see me doing. Say what you hear me saying. Partner with me at this hour. I love them. I want to set them free and welcome them. I have called them. They are mine. Will you say yes to my call? That is a word. That is a word. And the reality is, it's not a word that's going to come. It's a word that has come. We are living it. We are living it. I was thinking about this all the more. So Patty Kessler started a Tuesday morning Bible study this past year. All the more. All the more. Another gathering. Our belonging team, that's the women's ministry, has started small groups And I don't know how many there are. Maybe somebody can shout that out, although I think a lot of them are not here today. I think a lot of them are at the car show. But there are multiple small groups for any of you women to say, I want to be in one. And if we get too many, we'll start more. We'll add more. All the more. It's all part of the all the more assignment that I believe Holy Spirit is orchestrating. Because why? He's preparing us for the return of Jesus. As we see that, do this all the more. Why? As we see the day approaching, he's coming back. Life as we know it at some point is coming to an end. I don't know how many of us will see it, how many of us will not see it, if any of us will see it. I don't know. It's not for me to know that, but it's getting closer. And so we're living life on assignment. And part of our assignment here at Abundant Life Fellowship is to gather all the more. Gather all the more. Small groups, big, little groups, corporate worship, service projects, whatever the opportunity that seems to arise, he says, keep saying yes, because it's part of my all the more. It's part of my all the more. It's part of this assignment we got in this word today to reach the lost, to remind them that God hears their cry. There's something about the pending return of the Lord that is linked to this instruction to meet more. We spur one another. We spur one another. There's deceptions all around us. So our enemy doesn't want us taking another step. And you may be sitting here saying, I don't know what would I have to give up? I don't know. You have to figure that out. But I'll tell you what, you say yes, he'll make every provision for it to happen. And the thing that you're giving up, you won't miss, or you don't need. The more we meet together, in whatever the context is, the more our love for one another grows. A few weeks ago, I was sharing in here different testimonies from some of the guys that I asked them specifically, why do you show up for men's prayer? Why do you show up for Men of Valor on Wednesday night? And the one man said, because I love them. He didn't learn to love them by being far away from them. He learned to love them by being with them. We learn to love and care about one another when we gather, when we meet. So when I was considering this idea of meeting more, I was asking the Holy Spirit to show me some specific values for meeting together and specific purposes. And one of the ones that was first very clear to me comes from a very familiar passage, and it's from 2 Chronicles. And in this 2 Chronicles passage was actually our word, gosh, probably 8-9 years ago. It was called If My People, and this is the passage that's from 2 Chronicles. And this is what the Lord says. When Solomon had finished building the temple, the Lord appeared to him and he said this to him. He said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, no command, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among the people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so that first value of coming together specifically in prayer is humbling ourselves. And if you've heard Pastor Shane any time over the last month probably, he's saying, those who are being lifted up are going to start by being humbled. He's not lifting up the proud. He's not lifting up who want to put on a performance. He's not lifting up those who want the spotlight to be on them. If the spotlight's on Jesus and we're bowed down, he's going to lift us up and he's going to use us. But it all starts with humbling. So to show up at a men's prayer meeting, and as one of the guys that I asked to give testimony said, I wish every man who's able could come and would come, because there's something that happens when we humble ourselves. And we saw this passage in its fullness unfold yesterday. Brokenness took place, and the beginning of the healing of lands started yesterday in men's lives. But they had to show up. They had to show up. And we who showed up got to experience it. We got to watch it. We got to be part of it. We got to see it happen. A core value of meeting together in prayer is for the purpose of humbling ourselves together. Together. And there's a vulnerability with that. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why prayer meetings as a whole are pretty unpopular. Because humbling ourselves in front of one another is not always comfortable. Last Sunday night, we had our first of the month Sunday evening prayer meeting. It was about 40 people here. And it's definitely not about numbers, but I'll tell you what, God responds to a people who want to come together for prayer. And what struck me about that night, because that morning we had specifically prayed for the team of people that was going to D.C. There were 8 people from here went to D.C., so we prayed for them and we sent them off. What struck me is most of them showed up again Sunday night for prayer, even though they were leaving the next morning. They could have easily all said, I got stuff to do before I go. I got tasks. I got house things to do. I got to pack. I got to do this. I got to do that. But almost all of them were here and we prayed for them again. And it was just another reminder to me that they're doing all the more. They were doing all the more when they could have said, I got stuff to do. I'm going away. I was here this morning. We got prayed for. But they were here again. All the more. All the more. And I think sometimes we don't show up for prayer because, well, maybe it just seems like it's not very much fun sometimes. It's too serious, too stuffy. I tell you what, we had a blast Sunday night. Well, as Julie just said, evidently they've never been here. We have a blast. Is prayer sometimes serious and heavy? And yes. But what's awesome is to see the heaviness leave. And to get to be part of that equation. God does it. We're just vessels. I can tell you this, the 20 to 30 something of us who gather every week at Pastor Shane's, and the complexion of it changes week by week. We had 3 new ones yesterday, are never bored. So also, as I was working on this lesson, I got a newsletter in the mail. There's a group in Salem. I live in Salem, I've been part of this group peripherally. I attend to some things occasionally. But it's called Salem Walk and Pray. And the second Saturday of every month, they gather. When the weather's nice, they gather outside and walk around a couple blocks of Salem, and they pray over it. And I've been part of it a few times and been invited to a couple other events they've put on. But they got this newsletter in the mail, and the newsletter is basically just filling them in on things they do. This group is very active in Salem. They attend city council meetings. Dinah Mullins is one who goes to council meetings and prays before the meeting, and they're always looking for more people to do that. If anybody lives in Salem and wants to go talk to Diana, she'll tell you how to get in touch with somebody at City Hall to just go pray over the meetings. And they're very, very inviting. They want somebody to come and pray over their meetings. So anyway, they're filling me in on various things that go on in this meeting. And this summer, they're actually starting some concerts in Waterford Park. There's a green flyer out there that talks about the first one. And it, again, it's just another reminder to me that God's kingdom is spreading, where there's more and more public gatherings of a variety of people, not just one church, not just one organization, but all kinds of believers in Jesus coming together to spread his gospel. And the harvest is ripe, because we know that anyway, but we just heard it again today. The harvest is ripe. He's calling people. We get to be part of these things. So then she continued writing, and she said, recently there's been an explosion of other prayer groups popping up in our surrounding communities. And then she listed them. Latonia, and I'm just going to go through this because this caught my attention. It probably necessarily maybe didn't even catch hers, because she probably doesn't even know this, what I'm going to say here. So Latonia, point person, Diana Mullins. Diana, raise your hand. Columbiana, Michelle Brown. Michelle Brown, raise your hand. New Waterford, Tiffany Hayes. Tiffany Hayes, raise your hand. East Palestine, I don't think he's here today, but East Palestine, Anthony Monteleone. Anthony, raise your hand, wherever you are. Men's Prayer Meeting, Pastor Shane Danks, Columbiana, raise your hand. And it caught my attention because I knew all these people. They were all from here. Because five people said yes. Five people said yes, and I'm not applauding us. I'm not boasting about this, but it made me excited that our people are paying attention, and our people are wanting, are not afraid of the all the more. Whatever is required, many of our people are stepping up and saying yes. And I'm sure the person that wrote this has no, I don't think she has probably any idea that these people are all from here. There was no mention of us. It wasn't about us. I don't care that we're not mentioned. But I noticed it because I know all these people, and I love all these people, and I love that they're saying yes, and they're saying yes to all the more. Because they understand that word that we heard this morning. They understand that we're living life on mission, that there's people out there that desperately want to know that God sees them and hears them. And we get to remind them that he does. But there's a humbling involved in it. And so it starts there. It starts there. Are we willing to do that? So I asked the Lord for more. What's more about this meeting together all the more? And then I came across this passage in 1 Corinthians. What shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And he said, it's in these gatherings that I'm refining my people. I'm giving them assignments. I'm refining their gifts. I'm birthing. I said this generally earlier, but this verse gives us some of the specifics of what he wants to do. And we know around here that if you have something stirring in you, you're allowed to express that. Now, preferably not during the message, unless it's absolutely relevant to the moment that we're in. But the reality is, we hear it all the time. Oh, gosh, something's stirring me. I have to speak. And again, whether it's the context is a service like this or a small group, small groups are a great place. A great place for you to explore whatever all the Lord is calling you to. Do you know, some of you may know this, some of you may not. Every Sunday morning, our doors open at 9 o'clock. Classes don't start till 9:30, so for roughly a half an hour, people are in here This is another group that meets, the wild group meets over there. No, I'm kidding. I mean, they're a little wild, but it's good wild. But there's a group in here, there's a group in there, and their whole purpose for coming together is to seek God's face. And I'm convinced that the time spent in here before service affects what happens during service. But it happens because they've said yes to the more. To the more. And it's in those gatherings where one may have a song, one may have a word of instruction, one may have a revelation, one may have a tongue, one may have a interpretation, one gift may be used here, one may be used another place. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. But it's happening because they said yes to show up. When we're meeting together for worship, for prayer, for fellowship, for service, for socialization, or whatever it is, the gifts are in full operation. Why? So the church may be built up. That's the purpose of them. Not to call attention to this gift, that gift, or the other gift, but that Jesus might be lifted high and the church be built up. We are not only personally strengthened and encouraged and sometimes challenged, but there's a lasting effect that is growing us. It's in these contexts that we learn how to love and care for one another, and more and more and more. There's a reason the director of the car show put that man in our area. Again, no applause to us. He just knows how we function. He knows this kid's going to get loved on. I was thinking, I wasn't thinking about this. This was kind of like a deposit the Holy Spirit landed in me. You know, one of the things that happens when we meet together, and the more we meet together, the more we come to know one another. And there's a little bit of a risk. Well, there's a big risk in that. The more, you know, Tim, the more you get to know me, the more risk is you won't like me. Because you'll see flaws. You'll see quirks. And we all have quirks. We all have quirks. And so the more we meet together and the more we pray together and the more we're gathering together, our enemy likes to do, and we all have one of these, and it's a critique button. It's a critique button. And so we could be sitting in a prayer meeting critiquing everything that we're hearing. So we have to learn, and I'm convinced that we learn this by continually showing up, by continually being here, to shut that off, because it's the enemy. The enemy always wants to divide his people, always wants us to, he wants to tear us down, not build us up. And so if we're sitting in a prayer meeting and our mind's critiquing, well, I wouldn't pray like that. Or, oh no, you prayed like that last week. You're praying like that again. There's all kinds of, there's a litany of critiques that our enemy likes to just, and we have to shut that off. But the reality is, if we weren't meeting together, we wouldn't be learning how to do that. I was talking to someone this week, and they told me about a situation where somebody came with them. Hadn't been here for a while, and didn't like the way communion went. Was critical of it. And it became very clear that the reason that happened is because there's no context of relationship with the person who was leading it. See, we have context for relationship when I know you, and I know your integrity, and I know what you stand for, and I know what you've been through, and I know your story. But I've invested in getting to know that. I've spent time with that. That's part of the value of meeting together, is that we invest in one another, Sometimes that's joyous, sometimes it's hurt, sometimes it's painful, sometimes there's hard things. But when we know it, we won't just let the critique button say, well, that guy's just a jerk. Not you, Cliff. Hey, I'm looking at you. But. Don't let your critique button keep you from showing up for something. Yeah. Well, I don't want to know because Corey might be there. And I don't like Corey. I like Corey a lot. I love Corey too. I love Corey deeply. He's all right. But we can do that. What if that person's there? And that person drives me crazy. Show up and learn grace. Yep. Used to know me when. Second chapter of Acts. More values that we learn from gathering together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When we come together with a purpose, with a united purpose, Holy Spirit responds to unity, responds to oneness, it responds to people coming for the same reasons. And says, here, I'm going to add to that because I love what I'm seeing. And you're going to learn to care for one another in ways that you didn't know. In this case, they sold possessions. I can't tell you how many times in the course of a gathering somebody finds out about the need, and before they leave, the need is met one way or another. Whether it's financial or, hey, I need a refrigerator. Oh, I have one. Or I need help with this. Oh, I can do that. That's what the body of Christ gets to do. Diana told me this morning about a woman who was supposed to have sold her house. And she has all of her boxes packed up, ready to be moved. And it fell through. And they're sitting there in her house. And she needs to get them to the garage so that they're not cluttering up her house while she's still living there. I'm guessing she's unpacked a few things. And she said, you think you might be able to find some people to do that? Oh, I think I know a few. We get to do that stuff all the time. Is there anything inherently spiritual about helping someone to move? No. Does the Holy Spirit do things through it? Yes. They devoted themselves together. And that's why, again, that's why we promote Heart of David worship nights. Heart of David, if you've never heard of Heart of David, Heart of David is a worship team that is comprised of people from multiple churches. It's not only Abundant Life. It's not only Upper Room. It's not only New Life. It's not only Bridge of Hope. It's not only, what else? Real Life, or Victory, Real Living. There's multiple churches, and its sole purpose is to call attention to Jesus and to give him praise. And more of these types of things are springing up where the body of Christ is coming together, and that's what the second chapter of Acts is all about. is the body of Christ coming together, and the response is that the Lord adds to their number those who are being saved. There's a thing coming up this summer. It was in our announcements today. It's called Joining Voices for Jesus. It's a really cool t-shirt. All those little dots represents a person. They had a little contest, an art contest, to make a logo, and this was the logo of just the body of Christ being joined together for Jesus. If you want to order one, you can. I think I have it on my Facebook page. Yeah, it's just a great shirt. But it's not about the shirt. It's about people coming together on June, what is it? 21st at SIBO Stadium in Salem. SIBO Stadium, it's the stadium in Salem, the football stadium in Salem. And they have more than 50 churches or organizations coming together that day. That's the body of Christ saying yes to all the more. To all the more. It's two to four. We're signed up to be part of it. Women's worship nights. I keep seeing more and more with the Belongings having a women's worship night, not just for Abundant Life, it's for other women. It's going to be at the theater in Columbiana, not here, there, theater in Columbiana. There's more and more of these things springing up because people are saying yes to all the more, so that as God's people are coming together with one purpose and one heart, more people can come to know Jesus. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So, you know, if you've been here any long, you know that. That's part of my assignment. That's part of Sunday school teachers' assignment. That's part of all of our pastors' assignment, is to equip us all. Equip us all to do works of service. One of the things Mark's cousin Dennis says every year when we do the car show, he said, I don't know how you guys do this. We do it because we love Jesus and we love opportunities to shine for him. We love opportunities to serve the community. We love opportunities to be out there. And we don't have to beg. We don't have to beg. The sign up sheet goes up and people show up. They show up. And is it always convenient? I think, oh my goodness. So Bobby and Beth Cato, Bobby just leaves his job to start his own business. They have two children. They lead our remnant group. He's on our worship team. She's involved with the Belonging and multiple other things. But he starts his own business on one day. Well, leaves his business one day, is starting his own business, and leaves for 4 days to go to Washington, D.C. That doesn't make any sense. If you have an earthly mind. But he said yes to all the more. Scott and Sharon Baldwin, who lead our transformation station, our children's ministry, they serve on our board. They do multiple things around here. Came sometime last year and said, hey, we'd like to start a marriage class at 9:30, a 12-week marriage class. And I'm thinking, do you need to add something else to your schedules? They also have six children, and I don't know how many grandchildren now. And jobs. They both have jobs, full-time jobs. There's that. But they said, we'd like to lead a class. We believe we're being called to lead a class at 9:30 on marriage for 12 weeks. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, do they have time for this? And it's probably not going to only last 12 weeks. And it lasted way longer. And then when it ended, they said, we're going to continue. And I thought, do they need to be doing this? And it was their response to all the more, all the more. And I could go through multiple examples of people who, from a just purely practical standpoint, you think, man, don't you have, you got kids, you have a house, you got this to do, you got that to do. And none of those things are falling apart while they're saying yes. It's all getting done. So, God equips his people for this works of service. Why? So the body of Christ can be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, we're continually being matured. We haven't reached the fullness of Christ yet, but we're being molded and shaped into more of him. The more we say yes, the more we show up, the more we experience him. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. That's happening. As we come together, some of that stuff is being shed from our minds, from our hearts, from our lives. Because it's one of the things he does, one of the multiple things he does as we meet together. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. See, the more we build relationships with one another, that if I see something and I know you and I know you well and we trust one another, I can say hard things to you. And believe me, in my position, there's times when I have to say hard things to people, and I do. I don't shy away from that. Do I always like it? No. But I will do it if I see it's necessary and Holy Spirit speaks and says, say this. Part of that word was, say what you hear me saying. We can speak the truth in love because we love one another. And we're being grown into the ever respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. So each one of us is part of that each part. Each one of us is part of that each part. And the question each of us has to then ask is, what's mine? What's mine? What's my part? What's my part? And I was thinking about this. So many of these experiences that I've written about, I would have never known about had I not been there. So just even the simple knowledge, the experience of hearing or witnessing something would be lost. Because I wasn't there. But secondly, if Patrick doesn't show up, not only does he miss out on what the experience was like, witnessing what goes on, but we miss out too, because he's got gifts. He's got gifts that we have seen being developed and redeveloped and reemerging because he's there. And the reality is, you all have gifts that remain dormant, that remain undeveloped, that remain untested. And the body as a whole misses out. The whole body as a whole misses out because you have something to bring to the equation that for whatever reason, you just say no. And again, there's reasons to say no. I'm not suggesting here everybody says yes to everything. Understand me. That this is not a judgment thing. This is a call to the assignment that we've been given, and we're all part of it. Now, the reality is everybody in the room benefits from the things the Holy Spirit's doing in here, whether you're participating or not. You can come in the room this morning and just be in the room, and there's an overflow into your mind and into your heart and into your life. Whether you respond to it or not doesn't take anything away from the overflow and that benefit. But the reality is, jumping in, while it's scary and unpredictable and unknown, there's so much more from all the more. I came in here today like, there's no way I can fully explain what happened yesterday. Only those that were there know. Only those that were there experienced it. And I could tell you specifics of the details, but that's not what's important. The important is, oh my goodness, these guys said yes and allowed brokenness to unfold that will change their lives forever. I could stand here all day telling you stories of things that have happened just in the last week, of things that happened just yesterday at the car show, conversations that I had at the car show with probably too many people to even remember how many, that were just moments in time, seemingly moments in time, but I know we're purposeful. I had a conversation that started with one man who used to be in fellowship regularly with the body of Christ and is no longer. And then along came another one who used to be in fellowship with the body of Christ regularly but is no longer. And so the three of us are standing there. And one of them quoted Pastor Don. Said, Pastor Don used to say, you got to give up your right to be right. And I said, you know what else Pastor Don said? Just show up. And he went, ouch. And he looked at the guy standing next to him and said, I'll show up if you will. And the guy next to him said, ouch. I could go on and on about encounters just yesterday from a car show. We're God's people. We have a voice. We're listening to the voice of truth, who wants a lost and dying world to know the voice of truth. What does your all the more look like? What does your all the more look like? Will it cost you something? Yes. Will it be easy? No. Will he use you in the middle of it? Yes. Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. So part of what he does when we meet together is he removes spots. He removes wrinkles. Part of what he did yesterday was deliver people from things that have been holding them back. Now the reality is every one of those guys will have to walk it out. We'll walk it out with them. We'll walk out every step of the way with them, but we won't do the work for them. I'm responsible for my walk. You're responsible for your walk. We will walk it out together, but the actions I take day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, y'all aren't around. Jesus is. He'll help you. I leave you with this. What say you? Not right now, to me. But what's your response? Because he's called us. Know that he's called us. Know that he's called us. This isn't my idea. It's his. Let's stand. We're going to close with I want more. I want more. If that's you today, cry it out to him. Sing it with all of your heart, even if you're not a singer. Father, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the work you're doing among us. Thank you for all the gatherings that we have coming up, all the opportunities we have to shine light. VBS coming up this month. Worship nights, prayer meetings, classes, picnics, graduation parties. Use us in every one of them, whatever that looks like, whatever you have in mind. Give us all we need to do it. Pay attention to the details of what you're speaking and saying. I pray this in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, there's people here who will pray with you.